Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text Number 4. Antak Pravisha Gangayam Ambojavana Rajini Vikridator Yudavitibir Gaja Viva Karenubi Antak within Pravisha entering Gangayam the Ganges known as Mandakini Ambuja of lotus flowers Vana Rajini, where there was a congested forest. Chikri Datu, the two of them began used to enjoy. Yuvatibi, in the company of young girls. Ganjo, two elephants. Eva, just like Karenubi, with female elephants. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Within the waters of the Mandakini Ganges, which are crowded with gardens of lotus flowers, the two sons of Kovara would enjoy young girls, just like two male elephants enjoying in the water with female elephants. Purport. People generally go to the Ganges to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here is an example of how foolish persons enter the Ganges to become involved in sinful life. This is not that everyone becomes purified. It is not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Ganges. Everything spiritual and material depends on one's mental condition. This is called, we have to assimilate the philosophy. How is it possible that if you go into the Ganges, you can become purified? People go on pilgrimage to the Ganges, become purified. But here we find out that actually just entering into the Ganges itself is not sufficient. One has to have the proper attitude. For instance, Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, tyajanti antikalevram, tam tam evaiti kondiya, sada tad bhava bhavitaha. That whatever one thinks of at the time of leaving this body, one will attain that destination. Therefore, it's not so important exactly where we leave. What is important is where our consciousness is at the time of leaving this body. So if the consciousness is fixed on Krishna, then one goes to Krishna. And if the consciousness desires, if the soul desires something else, is attached to something else, then he goes to that place. Yanti deva vrata devan pitri yanti vrati vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyaji no pimam. So if one worships the demigods, yanti deva vrata devan, then he goes to the demigods. So it is important what we're associating with it, because the tendency will be there to become affected by that association. Sat sanga tyag e vaishnavachar, stri sanga ekasaru bhakta ar, abhakta ar. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises us that we seek out the association of devotees who are engaged in devotional service and trying to become conscious of Krishna and give up asat sangha. Those who are not interested in permanent life, those who are interested in other things. Asat sangha tyaga evaishnavachara. Therefore, they're not Vaishnavas or aspiring to become Vaishnavas. They have other interests. Asat sangha Tyag a Vaishnavacha, Stri Sangha, association with others for sense gratification. Sri Sang Ekabhakta, who aren't interested in devotion. Krishna Bhakta, who are not devotees of Krishna. Then according to that association, it's likely we're going to develop a certain consciousness. As Krishna says, Udarat Atmanatmanam, Atmanam Avasadayat, Aidmaiva Yatma Udarat Atmanatmanam, Atmanam Avasadayat, Aidmaiva Yatmano Bandur, Aidmaiva Ripur Atmana. That a man has to elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Therefore, we have to judge the success of what we're doing, not only by what the results will be, but one of the results should be that we fix that we're thinking about Krishna. And if we're not thinking about Krishna, then there's something to be desired in what we're doing. And if we are thinking about Krishna in devotion, then whatever we're doing is successful, because that's the whole idea of whatever we're doing, so that we can think about Krishna in devotion. Therefore, Krishna says, "For one who remembers me in devotion, I'm easy. One who remembers me, anandyas chintayantomam, ye jana paripasate, te shamniti biyuktanam, yoga shemam aham yaham. Anandyas chintayantomam, for one who is always engaged in remembering me, without deviation, I'm easy to obtain because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So the essence of devotional service is to be devoted. We can't be devoted unless we're thinking about our object of devotion. We can't be devoted to the air. We have to be devoted to a person. And therefore, unless we're devoted, if we're devoted to that person, we should be thinking about them. And if we want to become devoted to someone, then we can try to think about them and do things for them. And then if they're someone like Krishna, who can reveal himself and inspire our devotion, then we become more devoted. Yanti deva vrata deva pitri yanti putri vrataha. Generally speaking, people are not interested. Yanti deva vrata deva pitri yanti putri vrataha. Bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yapisopi mam. Generally, people are not interested in Krishna. They're not interested in going back to the spiritual world, only because they're interested in trying to be happy here, imitating Krishna. In other words, what we're essentially serving here, besides our senses, is our false ego. That somehow or another, I'm super special. I should be the object of others' attention. And therefore, we crave that people pay us attention. If not people, at least our pet dog. Or sometimes people imagine that their pet fish in the aquarium is actually worshiping them and paying attention and appreciating them. Someone. But it's not even ourselves, because we're not the body. We become enamored with this body as our worshipable deity, and we're worshiping it, and we're trying to make devotees for the body. So that they can serve our worshipable deity. But actually, our worshipable deity is not so worshipable, because although it could be utilized in Krishna's service as an instrument for Krishna to become helping ourselves and others become conscious of Krishna, when it's not utilized like that, then it's simply the same material elements, the same material activities that everyone else in the universe is doing unsuccessful. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It is not that only the human beings are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. From the highest species in this universe down to the lowest, they're all engaged in the same thing. Punat punas charvata charvanana. It is not when the hog eats stool, he has any less enjoyment when the human being eats his plate of food. The hog equally enjoys. Matter of fact, the hog has less problems than the human being does. He has less to worry about. His life is much simpler, and therefore his sense gratification is he can concentrate on it much more. because in current society, everything has become complicated. Therefore, people can't even concentrate on their sense gratification. They're too worried about the arrangements that have to be made for that sense gratification and the possible future problems of making similar arrangements for the similar type of sense gratification. Therefore, even when people have finally they get what they want, they can sit down and eat something, they're too in anxiety to actually concentrate on it. They're thinking about what they have to do after eating, or whether tomorrow they'll be able to eat, or whether this is exactly what they want to eat, whether the food's exactly the temperature they want. So many problems. But a hog, whatever the temperature, whoever gave him a donation of food, he's equally happy and satisfied. Prabhupada said that's why the hogs get fat, because without being happy, you can't get fat, without being contented. And as far as sleeping goes, all living entities sleep. Even if there's no elaborate arrangement, eventually you go to sleep anyhow. And mating, defending, everyone tries the best they can to defend, but everyone dies anyhow. Death comes, mrityu sarva harashraham, and takes everything away. Doesn't matter what physical regime we follow, how many black belts we have in martial arts, still we die anyhow. So, what is the value of the martial art? What is the value of your black belt? It was only going to be for a few years. And then you have to leave your body, start all over again. You can't take your black belt with you. You can't take any belt with you. Therefore, here we find the residents of the heavenly planets in the Ganges, the Mandikini Ganges, so fortunate. Such a pure Ganges, there's no contamination whatsoever in that Ganges. There's no factories amongst the demigods. They're not so foolish to try and create factories. For what? Can you compare it to a flower? What does an iPhone smell like? It can make sense if you have spiritual sounds on the iPhone, you can remember. But even without the iPhone, without the music, within our heart we also have a remembrance machine that we can remember these songs of Krishna. You don't have to have a smartphone. Unfortunately, most people get a smartphone, they become foolish, stupid. The phone may be smart, but the people using it are stupid. Therefore, even without these things, people would remember Krishna and they would chant. And the chanting was actually much more joyful, much more concentrated, because they weren't worried about paying off for the iPhone. There was nothing to pay for. They didn't have to pay rent because they built their own houses. And they were very comfortable. There was no electricity surging through them. They went to sleep on time. When the sun went down, they went down too. When the sun came up, they came up too. And therefore they were in harmony with the material nature, and they didn't have to struggle so hard in order to survive. So although we may think modern civilization is so glorious, but all it is complicated, a complicated arrangement for survival, and no one survives anyhow. Therefore, we find the demigods here enjoying the Mandikini Ganges, the same enjoyment you can get anywhere. So what's the point of becoming a big demigod if you're just going to do the same thing everyone else is doing? Such a big struggle to get there, and you wind up doing the same thing anyhow. Why struggle so hard? The conclusion is we should worry more about our consciousness and exactly where the arrangements are which we're living that existence. If our consciousness is in Krishna consciousness, we'll be happy anywhere. And if our consciousness is not in Krishna consciousness, we won't be happy anywhere, in any circumstance. we'll be always hankering for the next circumstance and thinking that will make us happy. Even the most perfect circumstance will not satisfy us, unless we're in Krishna consciousness. And even the least perfect circumstance, like Prahlad Maharaj was faced all the time, because he was fully Krishna conscious, it didn't bother him at all. So this is the next text number 5. Maharaj Parikshit, by some auspicious opportunity, for the two boys, the great saint Devarshi Narada once appeared there by chance. Seeing them intoxicated with rolling eyes, he could understand their condition. Purport. It is said, sadhu sanga, sarva shastra, stray kaya, lava matra, sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi haya. Wherever Narada Muni goes, any moment at which he appears is understood to be extremely auspicious. It is also said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the universe. Some of them are being elevated in the upper planetary systems, and some of them are going down into the lower planetary systems. And many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Madhyama 19.151. Narada appeared in the garden to give the two sons of Kuvera the seed of devotional service, even though they were intoxicated. Saintly persons know how to bestow mercy upon the fallen souls. So out of all the different sinful activities, generally people are attached to sex life is the primary focus of material existence, called sense gratification, which sex life has all the different types of sense gratification combined together. And therefore that's what people are most attached to. And the other types of sinful activities are usually subsidiary. After you have sex life enough time, then it becomes a little boring. You need some variety, so therefore intoxication is there to get some variety. And then, of course, this is in order to have the strength, meat eating is there. And, of course, when you get speculation, gambling, etc., is there to get easy money so you don't have to work so hard because you don't have the strength or the willpower to do very much. Therefore, you hope to get easy money, easy access to things. And of course, because you can't control your mind goes all over the universe speculating. He's my enemy. This is my friend. So much is mine. The mind just wanders everywhere speculating, trying to understand what's going on here through mental speculation, because the mind lacks sufficient guidance from intelligence, therefore goes everywhere. And therefore one is always confused, bewildered, and anxiety, trying to figure out what's happening, confused. And therefore one takes shelter of relationships which are not very desirable. And the idea that this will give me shelter, this will give me relief. And if they don't, those who will not seemingly give me shelter and relief, supposedly, they become my enemy. And therefore, on the basis of sense gratification, there's so much speculation, especially who's my friend, who's my enemy, how am I going to gain something, what can I lose, who's going to, etc., etc. Therefore, Narada Muni put these two boys, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, into the bodies of trees so they can cool off for a while. Because in the body of a tree, there's limited opportunities for sense gratification. You're pretty restricted. Therefore, you have to develop patience. So, lucid sex will destroy one's patience. It builds up one's false ego that I'm the Lord, I'm the enjoyer, and therefore one becomes intolerant of anyone who doesn't accept oneself as one's the Lord and the enjoyer. And therefore one loses all appreciation due to the development of false ego, of others' good qualities, and instead one thinks oneself to be the object of everyone's, should be the object of everyone's attention and service. But if you're in the body of a tree, then you definitely become humble, because especially here in Slovenia, you look around and see that everyone else is standing there naked like you are. Can't move, crippled, can't speak, dumb. Maybe they can speak a little bit tree language, but no one else understands them. It's a pretty embarrassing situation. Even it's winter and the snow is coming down all over your body on your branches, you can't call up Amazon and order a warm coat. You have to stand there and tolerate. And if you have to do that for some thousands of years, you just definitely learn patience. No Sunday, no feast, no extra prasadam. Just stand there for thousands of years naked, tolerating the heat, the cold, the rain, the snow, the wind. And therefore, after some time, of course, these demigods were conscious of their previous activities, and they happened to be in Vrindavan, so they also witnessed Krishna's pastimes. So this is something very special. They were not ordinary trees. They were conscious trees, watching, especially when Krishna came and had his pastimes, they were quite happy watching them, observing them. Therefore, the curse of a great saint like Narada is not really a curse. It's ultimately a blessing. Because Narada is the friend of everyone, but everyone should get their appropriate medicine. Sometimes the doctor prescribes bitter medicine because that's what the disease need, that's what the patient needs to cure his disease. So apparently Narada Muni's curse was very undesirable, but actually it was most desirable. It was exactly what these two demigods needed in order to become fully benedicted by Krishna's presence. Because by the time Krishna appeared, they were pretty patient. They had nothing else to do but concentrate on Krishna's pastimes as they observed them personally, Krishna and Vrindavan. And therefore they were most fortunate, because we find that by the mercy of Narada Muni, they got to personally meet Krishna and go back to the spirit and to the heavenly planets, but in full consciousness of Krishna, as pure devotees. So that's most auspicious. Although they were here for thousands of years, but in terms of the demigods, it was just a blink. And therefore, they could live the rest of their existence out as pure devotees and eventually go back to the spiritual world by Narada Muni's mercy. Maybe even go and preach to those demigoddesses, get them to chant Hare Krishna too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? So Mukunda, what did you understand from the class? Yes.
That you spoke about Sanskrit unification when I came into the class.
What's that?
You spoke about Sanskrit unification when I came into the class.
Yes.
Not to learn.
Well, we need Sanskrit unification. It's not possible, but to do it in a regulated way, to help us become conscious of Krishna.
Mentioning about going back to God. We can go first to the. I didn't quite get who was talking about going to the.
Nara Kuvara and Manigriva.
Nala
Kuvara and Manigriva. They first, when they Krishna knocked them over, and they came out as demigods, they circumambulated Krishna and offered prayers, and then they went to the heavenly planets. Yeah, we can understand they were fully conscious of Krishna. They had learned a big lesson.
Okay.
Domen.
Hare Krishna. I hear that it doesn't matter where you live or where you die, but what's the consciousness there, where you are, or on the time of death. That's one important thing. Okay, I can say that this analogy, when you mentioned that you can become a tree or something like this, doesn't convince me very much, because I think the tree doesn't have so much consciousness or feeling, so it doesn't hurt.
Really?
We don't know.
We do know.
We?
Yes, we know. Chandra Bose, Prabhupada used to work with him. He did experiments with plants, and he showed the plants also have feelings. They have friends, they have enemies, they have feelings.
Yes, I agree, but not very high consciousness. I think they don't miss prasadam and this kind of
things. No, they get their food through their roots. But if they don't get that food, they'll be very disturbed too. They'll be disturbed to some degree. Just like we're unconscious too, compared to real consciousness. So does that mean that we just do whatever we want to people because we say, well, you're not really very conscious, so it doesn't really matter what I do for you, to you. It's all relative. No, it's just like when Chandra Bose played nice music for the plants, they thrived. And when he gave them food and some water, they became very happy. And when he came into the room, afterwards he could measure that they were happy to see him. So now that we think, well, you have no consciousness, I'm just going to cut you up in little pieces. No, they were very unhappy when people burnt their leaves. They registered a lot of distress. So we should be careful dealing with all living entities and appreciate, in this particular case, or in any case, they're learning something as a tree. The soul in the body of the tree is not there just doing nothing. He's learning tolerance and patience. So it's an important thing. Of course, their sense gratification is rather limited, but for them, you know, it's enjoyable. Just like for our sense gratification is pretty limited too, when you really think about it. How much during the day are we eating, sleeping, mating, defending? And even if we're sleeping, how much we're aware of the happiness of sleeping? We're not aware of anything. We're in a less aware position for a good part of the day than the trees are when they're awake. But we don't think, well, we're unfortunate. What did you understand, Govindapriya Devidasi?
Hare Krishna. I was impressed about when I understood that actually Narada Muni's curse was actually a blessing when I first read Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is actually desirable to search or to desire to have his association in any circumstances.
Yeah, better to have him where he gives you blessings. It's a little bit more comfortable.
Yes, yes. But actually, even if it's his curse and he's cursing you to meet Krishna, then...
Yeah, if that's what you get. Just like Narada Muni associated with Kamsa, but Kamsa didn't get very much benefit from it.
Yeah.
Because he was a demon. These two, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they weren't demons. They were sons of Kuvera, an elevated demigod, therefore they were must have been quite pious in their previous activities. But they got deviated by bad association.
Yes.
Therefore, Narada Muni came, and therefore they got the highest benediction. But they were not just ordinary persons. Nor is Narada Muni bothered with cursing ordinary people, because they're already cursed. His curse is very specific, very special people. Other than that, he's giving benedictions. Just like when Gopala Chapala when Narada Muni, in the form of Shivas Thakura, when Gopala Chapala became envious of him and tried to defame him by putting paraphernalia for worshipping Durga in front of his door, then Narada Muni called all the respectable townspeople to come and said, just see in front of my door all this paraphernalia for worshipping Durga is there, because it's secretly at night I'm actually worshipping Durga, I'm actually a Durga devotee. So the townspeople, the prominent people in the town, they said, who's this rascal who did this? And they called the sweeper to come and sweep it away. But Gopala Chapala, because of his offense against Narada Muni, developed leprosy and had to live outside. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came by on his way to pilgrimage, then Gopala Chapala asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dearest sir, you know, you've come to deliver the world and I'm suffering because of leprosy. Please help me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because you offended a pure devotee, Shivas Thakura, my benediction is that you may stay here for millions of lifetimes and be bitten by the worms in this leprosy. May you burn in hell for thousands of lifetimes. So then when he came back, Gopala Chapala was in a different mood and surrendered. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you want my benediction, then go to Srivas Thakura and ask for forgiveness for your offense, which he did, and therefore he was purified. So sometimes things get more complicated than just someone walking by and cursing you.
It is very important, the consciousness in which we are doing things. It may be Ganges is the holy river and it's cleaning, but if you don't have a proper consciousness, then it's not helping much.
Yes, very good. All right, I think we'll stop there. Grandaraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.